Morning. Today's daf is daf kuf in Menachos. We're at the Mishnah on Saditas Amud Beis. We're in the middle of the page. We start with the Mishnah. We are going to hopefully today wrap up the 11th parak of Menachos. Finish up a discussion of the Lechem Aponim. So from the very beginning of this parak, we've primarily been discussing the Lechem Aponim. A couple of other issues were discussed, the Shtei Alechem a little bit, but mostly to Lechem Aponim. So the Mishnah over here goes through actual procedure. Shnei HaShulchanos Hayu Be'ulam. So there was this Ulam. So if you look at our grand design of the Second Temple over there, so you will see that right in front of the actual Heichal, the Heichal is the actual building itself. So there was an Ulam. So, you know, usually before you walk into a house, there's a foyer. So here, it was huge. The Ulam, right, was actually much wider than the Heichal itself. And there were compartments and there were chambers in the Ulam, and we'll discuss more about the Ulam later on. There is a general debate in the Gemara, not here, elsewhere, whether the Ulam had the same status as the Heichal or the Ulam was more had the status of the Azara. Okay, because it was somewhere in between. And so subject to debate. But anyway, what the Gemara now is going to describe is that in the Ulam itself, there were two tables. In our picture over here, those tables are not to be found. Oh, no, that's not true. I found them. Okay, Shulchan Zav, Shulchan Shayish, right? Gold and marble. Okay. So, again, everything in your mind should be flipped around because on that picture over there, east is west and west is east and... Okay. Not intended to confuse, but it is confusing. So, Shnei Shulchanos Hayu Be'ulam, so there were two tables in this in the Ulam, in the antechamber. Mibifnim, Al Pesach HaBayis, Echad Shashach Ve'Echad Shalzav. Now, one was made up of marble, and the other one was made up of gold. If you remember yesterday, we described those two tables, one made up of silver and one made up of gold. So there is a discrepancy in terms of that other table, meaning the non-gold table. Okay, so marble, silver, okay. Al Shoshayish Nosen Lechem Aponim B'Chnis Aso. Now, the marble table, right, the granite, if you will. The marble table, that was for the Knesset, that was for entrance. Meaning so that when they brought the new Lechem Aponim into the Heichal, when they're going to place it onto the Shulchan, onto the actual table itself, but before doing so they would be like a layover, right? It'd be a stopover in the Ulam, and they would put it on the Shulchan Shashayish. V'al shal zahav b'yitziyah so. But when the week ended and the bread came out, so again, there'd be a stopover, they would stop in the Ulam and they would place it, but the table that they would place it on would be the gold table, not the Shayish, not the marble table. Why? Shemalim Bekosh V'alo Maridim. Because of this concept of Malim Bekosh V'alo Maridim, we discussed it yesterday, right? Because it's just been spending a week on a gold table. So pasnished, it's just simply inappropriate that, after having been a week on a gold table, to go back down now and to drop off and, you know, it was sitting in first class and now it's, you know, with the rest of us. So that's not right. So in other words, if it was gold in the Heichal, so it should remain gold in the Ulam as well. The Echad Shalzav Mibifnim, and of course, there is one golden table in the Heichal. That's what we call the Shulchan. Right? Sha'alav Lechem Aponim Tamid, and that's where the Lechem Aponim was all the time. Now, procedure for actual removal of the Lechem Aponim. So we've been discussing this many times, but here's the Mishnah, and the Mishnah here goes step by step how exactly the Lechem Aponim was removed. Arba Kohanim Nechnasim, Shnayim B'Yadam Shnei Sedam, Shnayim B'Yadam Shnei Bezichim, V'Arba Makdimim Lefnehem. So there would be four Kohanim that would be going in. Two would be holding the two Sedarim, right, the two columns, right? So in other words, each one of them would be holding six loaves of bread. Now, right, it's a lot. In other words, it's a lot to bring in. Remember, we described how the bread was folded over, and it went up 2.5 tefachim high. So you're talking about holding a stack of bread that's 15 tefachim high, which, that's a nice stack. It's right around 5 feet of bread. Okay. And two were needed to bring in the two spoons. Remember, the two spoons of frankincense, of Lavona, and those two spoons were placed either next to the Lechem Aponim or on top of the Lechem Aponim, depending on how you want to understand the word al, which we've discussed time and again now in this 11th parak. And so that was the four bringing in the new. But, right, if we're going to bring in the new, we got to take out the old. Arba Magdim Lefnehem.
four people would walk in front of them. Two would be taking off the bread and two would be taking off the old spoons. Now, in terms of where we're actually going to stand, so the Mishnah describes this. Okay, so we are now around the table. Okay, and we're going to do a switch. We're going to take off last week's bread and we're going to replace it with this week's bread. According to the Tanakhama, the switch is going to be right precise. Meaning, as the old bread is going to come out, the new bread is going to come right in its place. Okay. So, Hamachnisen Omdim Bitsafon. So the ones who are going to be machnis, who are going to be placing the new bread, they stand in the north. Okay, so, just one more time.
We're now in the Heichal, and the people who are, I know I'm pointing down, but everything is flipped. So the people who are going to be inserting the new bread are going to be here, meaning their back is going to be against the north wall, and remember, that's what we discussed yesterday, that's the 2.5 amas. Separating the shulchan from the wall because they need room to work. So they're going to be standing over here, back to the wall. They're going to be looking south or over at the north end of the Azara, and they're about to put the new bread onto the table.
And then you have the other Kohanim who are standing on the south side of the shulchan, and they're going to be the ones taking the table away. And the Mishnah goes on to describe. Hamachnisim omdim b'tzafon fneim l'darm, v'hamotzim omdim b'darm fneim b'tzafon, elu moshchin ve'elu manichin. So, right? It's a... It's going to be a transfer like this. Right? The old one is taken off, and the new one is going to be placed right in its stead. And why do we need that? So the Gemara goes on to explain. And it's going to be they're going to be touching one another, right? As it is being replaced. Shenema lefanai tamid. Because the Tanakhama is of the opinion that when it says, the Pasuk says, Lefanai Tamid, it means literally, it's bread's got to be on the Shulchan at all times. So, to the best of our ability, and our human capability, we're going to have, when we were taking off the old bread, the new bread's going right in its place. With as little interruption as possible, preferably no interruption. Okay, that is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rav Yossi Amar Afilu Eilu Notlim Eilu Manichin. Afi Haisa Tamid. Afilo Elu Notlim Ve'elu Manichem. Afi Haisa Tamid. Even if they take it off and they put it back on again, meaning, and there is a gap in between, that's also considered Tamid. That's also considered continuous. All right? What makes it continuous if there actually is a bridge? Because continuous just simply means that there has to be bread on it every day. So even if there's a gap between the removal and the replacement, nevertheless, it's still considered Tamid. Now, we're holding on to 12 loaves of bread, and we're now exiting the Heichal. So we have a stopover in the Ulam. We place on the gold table over there, Shayaba Ulam. Hiktiro HaBazichin, while it's sitting on the Ulam, we would be Makter Bazichin, we would burn the frankincense, V'achalos Mezkalkos LeKohanim, and bread was divided amongst the Kohanim. And the Mishnah and Talmud describes, and we'll get to the Mishnah later on, and our track through Shas, six loaves would go to last week's Mishmar, and six loaves would go to this week's Mishmar, although that's subject to a debate as well.
The new frankincense already went in?
The new frankincense was already went in and already was placed on with the new week's bread. Okay, good. All right, and that's it. And that is the Mishnah's description of the replacement of the Lechem Apanim. Chal Yom HaKippur M'lios B'Shabbos. Now, what if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, right? Coming up this year. All right, well, Yom Kippur is going to fall out on Shabbos. So if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, so we're going to have a small problem. And the small problem is, Kohanim won't be able to eat the Lechem Apanim on Shabbos. Now, the Lechem Apanim, remember, is a mincha. It's Kachay Kachim. We go back to our regular rules of Kachay Kachim. They can be eaten only by Zichrei Kohuna, and you only have one day and one night to eat it. Now, if today is Shabbos and Yom Kippur, so you can't eat it today. It's Yom Kippur. It's an Issa D'oraisa to eat that day. So what do you do? So the Mishnah goes on to describe. Very simple. Hachalos meschalkos la'erev. Good. Bread's going to be divided this evening. Mi motzei Yom Kippur. It is kachay kachim. You have one day and the following night to eat it. So that motzei Shabbos, Kohanim are going to be eating lechem apanim. Usually it's eaten on Shabbos itself. But because today is Yom Kippur, so it's not a big deal. We'll just simply wait till after Shabbos.
No concern with beans.
There is a concern, but there's no other option. You can't.
The night still counts as day. So
right. So there's more of a concern of lina, but you just eat it over the course of the night. Chaliyot be'erev Shabbos. Now, what if Yom Kippur falls on Erev Shabbos? Now, you and I both know that's not going to happen, at least nowadays, because the calendar is fixed. Lo adu rosh, right? One of the rules in when they fixed the calendar, which was around 1700 years ago, when they fixed the calendar, the one of the rules that they worked with is that Rosh Chodesh Tishrei should not fall out on a Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. Okay, so for the rest of our lives, as long as Mashiach does not come, which hopefully will be not much longer, but for the rest of the fixed calendar, you will never find Rosh Chodesh Tishrei falling out on a Sunday or a Monday or a Wednesday. Sorry, let me do that again.
Right.
Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. The reason why is because if Rosh Chodesh Tishrei falls out on a Sunday or on a Wednesday, that means Yom Kippur is going to fall out on a Friday or a Sunday. Right? Let's just do the Dal and the Vav. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Wednesday, first day of Rosh Hashanah I'm talking about. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Wednesday or on a Friday, right, that sounds better. Right, it looks better. If Rosh Hashanah falls down on a Wednesday or on a Friday, so that means Yom Kippur is going to fall out either on a Friday or on a Sunday. Now that's bad. Why? Because basically you're going to have now two Shabbos-like days. You're going to have Yom Kippur and Shabbos back to back, and that's not good. The reason why that's not good is because of burial. Right. In other words, Rachman al Aslan, someone dies on the first of those 2 days, so that's going to go 2 days now without burial. Okay, so that's when the calendar was fixed and good. That doesn't happen.
What about Sunday? What's
the problem? The same thing, meaning you're going to have Shabbos followed then immediately by Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur is a Shabbos-like day. There's no.
But Wednesday, Friday would make it Friday and Shabbat and Sunday.
Right.
The Sunday problem. What's the problem?
Sunday is.
Rosh Hashanah being Sunday. What's the problem with that?
Well, Rosh Hashanah. The problem with Rosh Hashanah being a Sunday. So that's the Hoshana Rabbah issue. Okay. I'll explain. No, nothing to do with Yom Kippur. It's a Hoshana Rabbah issue. It's very simple, actually. It's not even that complex. Hoshana Rabbah, if it falls on a Sunday, so then Hoshana Rabbah is going to come out on a Shabbos. And the rabbis did not want Hoshana Rabbah to come out on Shabbos. It's too special a day for it to come out on Shabbos. Okay. Minig Nevi'im to carry around the Aravos. Okay. Fine. Okay. So obviously the Mishnah is recorded well before the calendar was fixed. And that's not true. It wasn't well before, but it was before the calendar was fixed. And so during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, certainly it was possible for Yom Kippur to fall out on a Friday. And if it does, what's the problem? Let's think this through. If Yom Kippur falls out on a Friday, okay, so busy Friday, Avodas Yom HaKippur will be done on Friday. The problem is going to be the Seir. Right, the seir that's offered on Yom Kippur—that's a chatas. So, what normally happens with a carbon chatas? So, you eat it. Now, when do you eat it? So, you can't eat it on Yom Kippur itself. It's Yom Kippur; you're not allowed to eat. So, the seir is eaten the night after Yom Kippur, Motzei Yom Kippur. Now, it's a chatas, which again means it's kachet kachim, which means that you only have 1 day, and 1 night to eat it. And now, the problem is that Yom Kippur went into Shabbos, okay. And now, Friday night, you have to eat your Sira Mishtalech. But here's the problem.
Mishtalech? We don't eat?
I said Sira Mishtalech. I didn't mean that.
The
Sira Chatas. The problem is, you can't cook it. It's such a simple problem. You can't cook it. Meaning, right? There's a mitzvah to eat it. On the other hand, it's Shabbos. You can't cook it. You don't have an allowance to cook on Shabbos. Right? There are malachas that you could do on Shabbos, but that's for the avoda itself. But the eating of it... Right, even though eating of a chatas is somewhat of an avoda, okay, but still there is no heter, there's no permission to cook it. So Sir Shul Yom Kippur Nechala Erev. So Friday night now, Motzei Yom Kippur. If Yom Kippur falls out on a Friday, so Friday night. So what are we going to do? Eat it raw. Eat the seir raw. So who's going to do that? So the Gemara goes on to describe Habavli Mochle Moso Kishu Chai Mipnei Shadat An Yafe. Get the Babylonians out. The Babylonians will eat it raw. They're that type of people. And the Mishnah's description of them is Mishum Daitan Yafeh. Daitan Yafeh, it's a euphemism, right? Their mind is good. It's a euphemism. It means that they can stomach it. These Babylonians have the stomach to eat raw meat. Okay. Just one point before we start with the Gemara. So everyone take their places, and that meant that when we took the lechem upon him, the ones who were putting the new lechem upon him in would be standing in the north, and the ones that would be taking the old ones out would be standing in the south. Yeah, what's any significance to that?
Everything is but Safon, and when we offer kosher.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Everything is but Safon. Yeah, first Rashi in the Mishnah, right? If you look at the it's the third shoreline down. Hamachnisim omdim b'tzafon Rashi the hachishapir the osa misajin haavoda yehi b'tzafon the kedusha tzafon chamir. Rashi writes over here that the kedusha of the north is more chamor, right? We know that because think about it. Whenever you shecht a carbon ola, so where does the carbon ola need to be shechted? In the north side of the courtyard. So the north has more kedusha. There's more inherent kedusha in the north. Okay, and so Rashi says, so given the choice of putting the new lechem upon him on or taking the old out, so the putting the new on, right, he's going to be fulfilling the mitzvah of a fanai tamid, so he needs more kedusha, so therefore the ones putting the new ones on are going to be in the north. The ones taking out, they're going to be in the south. Okay, that's how Rashi understands why it is that those that are putting the new ones on are going to be standing in the north. Okay, let's go to the Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Amar, Afilu Silka Tzei Yeshana Shachris, V'Sidah Sechadasha Arvis, and B'Kach Klum. Bryce over here records Rabbi Yossi to the extreme position, which means that the Tanakam of our Mishnah says that you need to put it on and make sure that there's no gap between the new and the old, the taking out the new and the replacing of the old. Rabbi Yossi says, I don't mind if there's a gap. And here in the Bryce, we see Rav Yossi to the extreme. Even if it's like a full, almost a full day separating the new and the old, right? You took off the old in the morning. You put in the new in the evening, ein bekach klum, I'm okay with that, says Rav Yossi. Elamani mekayim lefanai tamid, shelo yalin shulchan b'lo lechem. Lefanai tamid just simply means that don't let a day go by without lechem being on the bread. Just that's all it means. Don't let a day go by. Okay, good. Okay. Amr Rabbi Amin Midrav Shav Rabbi Yossi Noman Afilu Shana Adam Ela Perek Achad Shachrit Perek Achad Arvis Ki Mitzvah Lo Yamo Shefar Torah Zemi Picha. Now the Gemara makes an interesting segue, meaning so we now have a debate in our Mishnah of what the definition of Tamid means. Tana Kama says Tamid means all time continuous, right? No gap whatsoever. Rabbi Yossi says no. It just simply means don't let a day go by without the table having bread on it. So now the Gemara says, take that same machlokas and let's apply it to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Right? We have a mitzvah called Talmud Torah. There's a mitzvah incumbent upon us to learn. Right? When? And the answer is very simply, all the time. The Gemara now is going to point out that according to Rav Yossi, in terms of minimum, so basically just like by the Shulchan, it means don't let a day go by without having shulchan on, lechem on the shulchan. Same thing is true with Talmud Torah, right? This is a, right? It's a, the Gemara tries to make this parallel. So Rabbi Ami tries to do it. So Rabbi Yossi, I'm sorry, Midvar Shul Rabbi Yossi, now Amar Afilu Shana Adam Ela Perek Achad Shachrit Perek Achad Arvis. One chapter of what? Right? Could be anything, meaning a perek of Chumash, a perek of Mishnah. So Ki Yei Mitzvah Lo Yamo Shefer HaTorah Zemi Picha. I'm Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Afilu Kra Adam Ela Kriya Shema Shachris Va'arvis Kiyem Lo Yamash. So Rav Yochanan quotes in the name of the Rashbi, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that even if you say Shema, right, the Kriya Shema, Kriya Shema in the morning, Kriya Shema in the evening, and now you have fulfilled the mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
It's ironic. This is the same Rav Shimon Bar Yochai who was upset because we all were gathering.
Correct. It's an excellent observation. Excellent. Right, because of Ben, issue?
Well, he seems to say something, when he quotes something from the other day, it's Rav Shimon Ben Yochai.
Yeah, and it could be. I do see the Rabbi Akiva Eger over here. Right, Rabbi Akiva Eger says that he changes it. It could be your very issue. It could very well be that it shouldn't be reading Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Anyway, so Kolokim Yamash V'David Zeh Asar LaOmra B'fnei Amay Aretz. Now, don't circulate this. So that now means that I got to go back on the tape and delete and And they'll be right, and there'll be 2 minutes of the tape missing, and then of course that's going to be very controversial. 2 minutes of tape missing. What do you say? But yeah. So don't tell the Amei Haaretz this, because obviously they will take this and they will exploit, and right, oh, all you got to do is just say Shema in the morning, Shema in the evening, and you don't have to learn any other time than that. Okay, good. Right. In other words, those who are a little more accustomed to subtleties will understand that this is just minimum requirement, meaning we're not discussing over here the absolute, we're just talking over here as a minimum requirement, just morning and just night. Right? That's the minimum requirement, but obviously the mitzvah of learning continues throughout the day. But you say this to an Adam Haaretz, then he'll just simply understand that, oh, okay, morning, Shema, night Shema, got it, done. Okay, so V'Rav Amar Mitzvah L'Amar B'Fnei Am Haaretz. Now Rav takes the exact opposite position, and he says, what do you mean don't tell the Am Haaretz? No, tell them. Tell them, at least they'll do this much. Meaning that if you don't explain this to him, they're going to think to themselves, what, learning all the time? Right? And they won't do anything. So if you go over to Am Haaretz and say, look, right, learning all day may be too much. How about this? How about Shema in the morning, Shema in the evening? Just do that. And that way you'll facilitate and you'll help them be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, at least as a minimum requirement. Good. Shal ben Dama ben Achoso shal Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yishmael, kigon anish lumati kol Torah kula, ma'u lomod chachmas yivanis. Okay, I did this, right, Torah done, right, meaning check. I know all of Torah. Okay. Difficult to imagine, but no, it's not that difficult. Meaning you apply yourself, you learn and you go over and you learn and you go over. Okay, good. So in other words, mastery over all of Torah. So he says, check, I got it. Now I want to know, can I move on? Can I go to now a new subject? I want to learn Chachmas Yevanis. Right? Greek philosophy. Okay? So Kara Alav Amikra Azel, Lo Yamosh Efer Torah Zemi Picha V'Gisa Bo Yomam V'Layla. So we go to the first paragraph of Yahushua, and there the Torah says, the Navi says, that the Sefer Torah may not leave you, and V'Gisa Bo Yomam V'Layla. You should be involved in thinking about Torah day and night. So, you want to learn Chachmas Yevanis. You have mastered the entire Torah. Not a problem. So Tsei U'Bedok Sha'a She'eno Lo Min HaYom V'Lo Min HaLayla. So as long as you find a time that's neither day nor night, so you find that time, and then yes, you can engage in Chachmas Yevon. It's not a problem. Ben
Hashmashas. But we had that whole thing with the Harkiness and the pigs that they send that they for
yes,
people
yes,
from studying, remember?
Yes. Ulamod bo Chachmas Yevanis. Right? Obviously, it is a smart way of answering, the answer being no, you can't. It's interesting, by the way, the answer doesn't say there's something intrinsically wrong with learning it, although that could be part of his answer, meaning maybe he is saying that, but, you know, not straight out. You know, he the way he frames the answer, it's a time consideration, meaning there's just no time to learn it because all day and all night you should be only engaged in the study of Torah. Now, this pasuk in Yahushua, v'igisa bo yomam v'layla. So the way we've understood it, the way that the Gemara presented it just a moment ago, is that this is incumbent upon us. It's an obligation that all day and all night you should be doing nothing other than thinking about Torah. Rashmo bar Nachmeni says no. It's just a bracha. It's Kadosh Baruch Hu bestowing a bracha on Yahushua. Ra Kadosh Baruch Hu Yahushua shedivrei Torah chaviv v'nalabi yoser. He saw that Yahushua loved Torah, loved it. Shenamar umishar so Yahushua ben nun nar lo yamish mitocha oel. Yahushua loved Torah so much that he was always by Moshe. He was always learning by Moshe. Amalo Kadosh Baruch Hu Yahushua kol kach chaviv v'nalach divrei Torah lo yamush shefer Torah zem mipicha. So once he saw he had such a love of Torah, so he says, my bracha to you is that lo yamush. Torah should never leave you. Okay, so it's a bracha that Hashem gave to Yahushua, not an obligation.
What were they studying if they didn't have Mishnah and Gemara, all disputes?
But he had Torah Shabbat. Meaning, we have Mishnah and Gemara and all that. That's just...
tells them what to do, and they know there is no machlokem, there's nothing to do.
It's easier. It's certainly easier back then, I would imagine, I'd venture to say. But at the other hand, however, everything had to be committed to memory. So,
they lost 3,000 halachot.
Right. More work to be done.
Because Torah general, right?
And you have to know what the rabbi says. This rabbi
does. Right. Our job is easier and harder because on one hand, everything is in the books.
Right.
On the other hand, now there's proliferation of machlokas. Okay.
Everything
was bottom
line. Right.
Everything back then. You're right. Okay. Rabbi Yishmael teaches us, the Academy of Rabbi Yishmael, that the Torah lo yehei alecha chova. It should not be upon you like an obligation. And on the other hand, at the same time, he had to lift Torah smecha. But you can't excuse yourself from him. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to try to seduce you away from Gehenna. Okay, meaning that we usually the word mesis means seduction. Right, mesis umediach. Someone who seduces you, right? There's another word also, mefata, but that's not the word over here, right? The word lahasit means to entice, to seduce. So usually when we use that term in conversation, we mean it in a bad way, right? It always, when we use it as a negative connotation. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Eov, we're going to use it vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to seduce, but his seduction obviously is going to be to the good. Right, the pasuk in Eov says, I'll read it again. I'm going to seduce you from a narrow opening, rachav lo mutzak tachteha, where you cannot stand above it. And what's that a reference to? So we'll see in just a moment. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't operate the same way we do. Whenever we use the term seduction, it means darchechem adarche misa, from life to death. Meaning from doing good in this world to doing bad in this world. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes us Adam midarchei misa darchei chayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, however, seduces us, tries to help us go the other direction from misa to chayim. Shenema afesischa mipitzar megehenim. And now the Gemara here darshins this pasuk in Eov. Kadosh Baruch Hu seduces you from the pitzar, from the narrow opening, that is the opening to Gehenim. Okay. Shepiatzar, she'ashenat sibur b'socha. The entrance to Gehenna is very narrow, so that all the smoke there accumulates inside. Right, it's pretty hot there. Top of Kuf Amud Aleph. V'shema tamar k'shem shepiatzar kach kula tzara. Well, maybe the whole place is narrow. So the Gemara says, no. Tamar lomer hamok harchiv. Now the pasuk in Yeshayahu says there's a lot of room over there. V'shema tamar lamelech luhu chana. Well, maybe it's not for a king. Now, king over here, Rashi does not understand king in the simple sense. Rashi writes, top Rashi on the page, l'tam shapir shmena Torah. Lohu chana gehenim shalo ye nidon ba. Right, a king is sometimes referred to as a tamachachem. Tamachachem sometimes referred to as a king. Rashi quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, melech kare l'tamachachem dechsiv bi malachim yimlochu. Right, so maybe somebody who learned Torah and then strayed, right? Maybe he shouldn't. He's going to be saved from Gehenna. Tamalam regam hila melech hu chan. So we go back to the pasuk Yeshayahu, and the pasuk Yeshayahu says no, even for such an individual. V'shamar tamar ein bo eitzim. Okay, but they got to run out of wood down there, right? They can't have a constant supply of wood. Tamalamar midurasa eish ve'eitzim harbe. Once again, pasuk Yeshayahu. It's got plenty of wood. So now, fine. So if you avoid Gehenna by living a virtuous life and a life engaged in Talmud Torah, so maybe your entire reward is simply you don't go there. Right? Talmud Lamar, we go back to our pasuk in Eov. Menasati shulchancha melo dashen. Your table will be filled with dashen, will be filled with delicacies. Okay? Meaning it's not the reward, the schar of living a virtuous life will be not just the abstention of Gehenna, but it will be, there will be positive as well. Okay. I went through the Gemara through the best of my ability. Obviously, My understanding is as limited, more limited than yours. Chal Yom Kippur Lios B'Shabbos. Now, what if Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos? So what the Mishnah described is, how do we eat the meat? Right? How does that happen? And so, because the problem is, you can't cook it on Motzei Yom Kippur. Motzei Yom Kippur is Erev Shabbos. So we call out the Bavli and we call out the Babylonians. Let them eat it because they eat raw meat. So, the Gemara has a tradition. Gemara quotes the name of Yochanan, and they weren't really Babylonians, right? You know that. Ella Alexandrium Haim. They were really Egyptians, right?
Egyptian Jews.
Yeah.
What?
Umitoch Shisonim es Bavliim Korna Samashem Bavliim. Right, but because there was such a hatred towards the Babylonians, okay, there was tension. There was animosity. We see this all the time in the Gemara. So, but because of our disdain for the Babylonians, so even though they were Egyptians, you know, so to give them a bad name, so we said, Babylonians. Okay, right, in our culture we don't fully understand that, but...
We say things are rotten in Denmark.
Right.
It's not Denmark.
Right. What did you have at the time of first Beit HaMikdash?
Yeah, right, correct. Fair, I don't know. Tanya Nami Hachir, Rabbi Yosef Amar Lah Bavlim, Eim Alach Zandrian, Hein Mitoch Shasonim, Es Bavlim, Korno Sam Hashem Bavlim. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Tanuch Daitcha, Sheni Hinach Dadati. And Rabbi Yehuda lets out a collective sigh. Rabbi Yehuda, right, was from Bavel, says Rashi. And it turns out now that basically, right, the way the Mishnah presents it, right, it's the Babylonians who eat raw meat.
It really wasn't.
It was the Egyptians. But they call them Babylonians. So Rabbi Yehuda, who comes from a Mishpacha Bavli, who comes from a Babylonian family, so he says, oh, good. Now I'm comforted. It's not the greatest comfort in the world, meaning basically anyone we don't like will call Babylonians, but at least in the sense that they're not the raw meat eaters, right? They're not that kind of people. So Rabbi Yehuda had a little bit of Hanachas died, right? Just he was appeased a little bit. Right, Rashi, I'm sorry, Tosfos, top Tosfos on the page, says that, what's so bad about eating raw meat? So, right?
I'm just bothered with the blood and the salt thing.
Yeah. Right, the blood
sick.
Issue.
Gets sick.
The blood issue, that's a significant issue, meaning because either we salt it or we roast it, but we're not doing either here.
Well, I mean, there's salt on the Mizbeach, right?
Yeah, but that it is not going on the Mizbeach. It stays off the Mizbeach. Only those things that go on the Mizbeach get salted. Yeah.
Must have only ate a little bit.
I don't know.
Okay. And the thing was, you know, we said that the Kohanim has to eat the meat like the king eats it. So what kind of king is eating wrong?
Right. It's not derech Mashiach, for sure. Right, so Tosos over here writes Demerse Karav Nusa. In other words, you look, it's not dignified. I'm meaning.
So this would happen every 7 years.
It would happen. I don't know how often it would happen. However often Yom Kippur comes out on a Friday.
It happened during Beit HaMikdash first Beit HaMikdash also.
Yeah, presumably yes. Okay, a lot of questions. We start the next Mishnah. Let's go. I'd like to finish the perek.
Didn't Shlomo cook on Yom Kippur?
Why? Because he.
Everybody was celebrating. He changed the Yom.
Oh, right. In the inauguration of the first Beit HaMikdash, they overrode Yom Kippur.
So why can't they do it?
So what? Why not for? It's interesting. I don't know. Meaning, right? You could make arguments that the eating of the chata should override the Shabbos.
It's a time thing. If you just wait for a few hours, you can eat it. So there's no right to
Here you don't know. Here you don't have a time.
Yeah. Why?
Because
Shabbat.
No, because it was offered on Friday. It's kachi kachim, so that means that you only have Friday and Friday night to eat it, and that's it. So that's why they called out the Egyptians and
on Friday night.
And good, but you can't cook on Friday night. That's exactly the problem. So they called the Egyptians and they said to the Egyptians, look, we know you people. We know you people eat raw meat, so you eat it. And so the Egyptian Kohanim would be the ones eating it.
It's supposed to work in the Beit HaMikdash.
Oh, all right. a lot of issues. Okay, I don't...
It's a circular question.
Okay. Let's go on. The Mishnah Seder Salechem B'Shabbos Ve'ez HaBezichen La'achar HaShabbos. So, Okay, the right way to do it, which we just learned, is that everything goes up on Shabbos. And it's got to be on the table for the week, from week to week. Short of that, it's mechusar zman, it's not enough time. Okay? So the Mishnah over here describes, Sidos Alechem Shabbos, so they put the bread on Shabbos like you were supposed to. And then as a bezich alachar Shabbos, but the spoonfuls of frankincense, the two spoons of frankincense were placed on Sunday. Okay, somebody messed up. Fine. But the Mishnah says it's not good. The hechter is a bezich on Shabbos puzzle. And if you're mocked here, if you burn the bezich on Shabbos, so you've disqualified it. Because it's mechusar zman. It did not spend enough time on the table. The bread and the bezichin need to be on the table for a full week. Okay. Now, maybe you'll suggest, right, and when you learn the rest of the Mishnah, you're going to make the suggestion. Maybe you'll suggest, okay, so why don't we just leave it on for another week? So Rashi over here writes, nothing doing. It's not going to work over here. Rashi writes, the first Rashi in the Mishnah, the mechusar zmanu shelo haya al shulchan ela shisha yamim. Right, it's only been the frankincense has only been on the table for 6 days. That's not good. And then Rashi writes the hacha ef shel sakein. Here, there's no remedy. V'lomer yenichenu ad Shabbos haba. The kevin de lechem nisad de kedina b'Shabbos kishu shulchan b'shuv ein yachol hashosan ela ad Shabbos rishona de nisa belina. And the problem, explains Rashi, is going to be a problem with the bread, because the bread was placed on Shabbos. So that means that the bread enjoyed a full week on the Shulchan. You know what happens after that? Lina. Lina, says Rashi. So now at that point in time, the Bezichin, you're caught. You're caught between a rock and a hard place. The Bezichin have not been on there for a full week, so they can't be burnt. The bread has been on the Shulchan for a full week, and so therefore any more time that the bread is on the Shulchan, it will be subject to the Psol of Lina. So under that situation, so you're done. You're just going to have to destroy it. And the Mishnah points out here there's no opportunity, meaning it's not a good opportunity, but there's no opportunity to violate the Isur and Pickle Noser V'Tame since it's already disqualified. Pickle Noser and Tame only is for those Kachim which are fit and qualified. Since this is already disqualified, good. Sidrus Alechem Vesabazichim Shabbos, Vehikter Sabazichim Lachar Shabbos. Okay, and let's say in terms of arranging, you put the bread and the bezichin on Shabbos. Okay, good, like you were supposed to. And then, so here's a coin who really goofed. And then he burned the bezichin on Sunday. Right? Right? A little nutty, that guy. Okay, but still, nuttiness aside, so what's the din? Psul of Ein Chayev L'Mishim Pigol Nos V'Tamei. So, no good, because the Bazichin is a matir, and you burnt the matir 6 days early. Okay, we don't know what the Kohen was thinking, but it doesn't matter. The Mishnah says the consequence is that it's now disqualified. Okay. Sidur is Alechem V'Sa Bazichin L'Acher Shabbos. What if we, for whatever reason, did not put the bread on the Shulchan on Shabbos, but it went up on Sunday, day after Shabbos. V'hikter sabazichin b'Shabbos. And then 6 days later, meaning on Shabbos, we burn the bazichin. Yeah, that's no good, because the bazichin and the bread need to be on there for a full week. Psula. But here there is a remedy. Ketzad yaseh, yinichenu l'Shabbos haba. Here, we can leave the bread on for another week. What about the issue of Lina that Rashi discussed in the beginning of the Mishnah? Not going to be a problem over here. Lina is only when it's spent, only after it's spent a full week on the table. If it did not spend a full week on the table, it's not subject to Lina. Lina is only when it spends a full week on the table.
It has to be from Shabbat to Shabbat.
It has to be from Shabbos to Shabbos. Yamim Rabim in Bekach Klum. And here it's been on the table for 6 additional days, says the Mishnah, in Bekach Klum, that's not a big deal. Okay, Tanan Hasa, we have a Mishnah. Amalam Amamuna Tseiru Imigyaz Man Shkita Imigyo Harawe. I'm sorry, Imhigya. Okay, on Yom Kippur. Remember, we did an all nighter on Yom Kippur, on Erev Yom Kippur, right? Kohen Gadol would be up the whole night. And the reason why is because we do not want the Kohen to become a Balkari and become disqualified from doing the Avoda. So he stays up the whole night. And also he's got a busy day ahead of him as well. Okay? It's a stressful day for the Kohen Gadol. And so we want him to do the Avodah as early as possible. Now as early as possible is dawn, right? The break of dawn. So they would have somebody look out and say, Im higia haroet, do you see daylight? Amar Barkai. And his response was, not this, not the Kohen Gadol, right? They some sort of scout. And he would say, Omer Barkai. And he would say, yeah, it's lit up. The eastern sky is lit up. Matisyah ben Shmuel Omer Heir Pnei Kol HaMizrach, the entire eastern sky is lit up. Ad Shebechevron. And then we ask him, does it go all the way to Chevron? Meaning, can you see Chevron from here? Right? Chevron visible from Yerushalayim? Right, not right. Now, nowadays it would not be. But Rashi quotes a Yerushalmi. Beautiful Yerushalmi. Nimsa Shalaficha Chayomar Ache Bechevron Yom Kippurim Kedei Lahazkir Yishene Chevron. Right, the mentioning of Chevron, Rashi quotes a Yerushalmi, the mentioning of Chevron is a reference to the Yishene Chevron, those that are sleeping in Chevron, otherwise known as Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So Ad Yishene Chevron V'hu Omer Hein V'lam Ahusruku L'kach. Now, why? In other words, what's with this procedure? Right, go and see if it's daytime. He says, yeah. He says, can you see Chevron? He says, yeah. What's with all that? Shepamachas Alam or Alavan of Edimo Sheir Mizrach. And because there was one time where false positive, right? They looked up and they saw it was starting to get bright, and so they checked and they realized, oh, that wasn't day. That was the moon. Sheir Mizrach Shachto Es Atamid. And so what they did, and it was still night, but they thought it was day because there was a little bit of illumination, but it turns out it was just a moon. So, Shachtu Satamit, the Shachtu Karpan Tamit, Vyosiela Beis Asrefa. And, right, Tamit, the Shachtet at night, that's totally disqualified. They had to take it out and burn it. Vorita Kohen Gadol Beis Atfila. And then the next thing they would do, we just started the Mishnah Yuma, so we're just going through more of it. And then the Kohen would go to the base of Tefillah, say, Akla, you have a Mikdash Kol HaMitzir Chesrag Lov. If you have a bowel movement on Tefillah, you need to tovel before you can do the Avodah, V'chol HaMeit Omayim. But if you just urinate on Kiddush Yadam V'Raglayim, you just need to wash your hands and your feet, and then you could go ahead and you could resume the Avodah.
Where did he do it?
Yeah, where is the bathroom?
Not in the base of Mikdash.
Where's the
Sheretim? Sheretim must be outside the Azara. Tani avod Rabbi Avin lo zuba vadal afilo osaof shenim lo kabalayla o mincha shenik mitzah balayla teitzel abeis asreifa. Now you should be wondering, what are we doing now? Like, why are we here? Why are we discussing this? So stay tuned as we're going to make a connection. So even if I do malika to a bird at night, or if I do kemitza at night, so no good. No good, disqualified. Taken out to the Beis HaSreifa. Now, Bishlam Allah Sof Mishum Delav Shalah Adure. So the Gemara says, look, you do Malika at night, I understand. Malika is an Avodah. All Avodahs have to be done during the day. You can't un-Malika the bird. There's no option for undoing the act of Malika. You understand?
Right?
Right? Your thumb is through the nail of the bird. No Tchias HaMesim option. Okay, good. So that I understand. So it's disqualifying. You have to discard and burn it. Ela mincha efshe de mahadur kometz leduchte v'kametz b'yamama. But the Gemara says, but here's what I don't understand. I did a kemitza of the mincha at night. Okay, so now I'm holding a fistful of flour. And what we just learned from this brisa is, okay, throw it all out. What do you mean throw it all out? Why don't you take the kometz and put it back into the bowl? And wait till the day, right? It's not undoable. And who tani love who amar la klisharz mikachin shalob is manan. And so he says, you know what? We're going to walk away here with a big chiddush, and that is that even though it's nighttime, and even though it is mechuster zman, it's premature. Nevertheless, the flour in the bowl has. Let me start the sentence the other way. The bowl imbues the flour with Kedushas HaGof. And now that I do Kometz, so what I'm holding in my hand now is Kometz. I can't just simply throw the Kometz back in. It is now given the status of Kometz. And it's nighttime, so I did it the wrong time, and it's not I can't just simply throw it back in now, because the bowl imbues a flower with Kedushas HaGuf, even though it's nighttime. Okay, good. So now we're at a big chiddush of the Gemara. So Meisve, so the Gemara says, so I'm going to challenge you. Kol HaKar B'Yom Kadosh B'Yom. B'Laila Kadosh B'Laila. B'Yom 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 B'Laila Kadosh B'Yom 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 B'Laila. Kol HaKar B'Yom Kadosh B'Yom 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 B'Laila Lo. So the Gemara says, I'll show you a braisa, right? We'll see this again in Tomorrah, that says that only things that are offered during the day can be sanctified during the day. So I don't understand. You're telling me that the bowl can sanctify the flower at night, but I can't do the avoda at night. How can the bowl sanctify it at night? So ein balayla, I'm sorry, b'yom ein balayla lo. Ein okosh l'karev avakosh l'pasel. So the Gemara says, well, what that braisa means is that you can't offer it, but it will imbue that contents with Kedushas HaGuf. And good, so or in this case, bad, because now it imbued it with Kedushas HaGuf, and I take off the komets, it's done. Meaning what's done is done. Mosif Rav Zera. So now we're here, meaning we're now at the place where we just learned that even though I placed it in a Kli Sharis at a premature time, the Kli Sharis gives the Kedusha. And I asked a question a couple minutes ago, why are we discussing all this now? Because our Mishnah seems to contradict. Most of Rabbi Zeira, we're like about 7 lines from the bottom of the page on Kuf Amud Aleph. Sidos Shalachim Vesa Bezichin, Acher HaShabbos. What if I put the bread and the Bezichin on the Shulchan on Sunday? V'hikter Esa Bezichin V'Shabbos Pesula, Ketzad Yasa, Yenichen L'Shabbos Abba, Shafil Al-Shulchan Yameim Rabbim, Eim B'Kach Klom. So what did our Mishnah teach us? That if you put the bread and the bezichin on Sunday, so let it sit there. Let it sit there till next week. Right. But what just happened? Didn't we just put the lechem on the bread? Now you're going to tell me we did so prematurely. But didn't we just learn that even though it goes on the Kli Sharis, the Shulchan in this case is the Kli Sharis. Doesn't it imbue with Kedusha? And not only Kedusha, but Kedusha Saguf. And shouldn't it now be subject to Lina after the first Shabbos? So it's a good question. So Abba Shafil al-Shukhan Yamir Imbakaklam. Isaac Adacha Kli Sharis Mekachin Shalabiz Manam Likdosh Velifsol. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. So that bread after Shabbos 1 should now be subject to Lina. So the Gemara says, look, it's a really good question. But the father Rabbi Avin, who we quoted, who gave us a chiddush, who presented us this chiddush, he also quoted a braisa. So you can't dismiss Avud Rabbi Avin, he also quoted a braisa. So kasavar, so we're going to have to say like this. Laila ein mechusr zman. Hayam ein mechusr zman. So we're going to have to now develop our chiddush. The night prior to the day, that's not mechusar zman. Meaning, I know I can't do avoda the night prior to the day. I understand that. But the night is still part of the day. If I put the flower in a kli sharis night before the day, that's considered like it went in
for the day.
For the day. Even though I can't do the avoda, but the night is still connected to the day. Here, by the lechem upon him, we're talking about days earlier. Days earlier is so premature that it's not considered like it went on the Shulchan. Right? It doesn't, it's not viewed as if it went on the Kli Sharis. Okay. So the Gemara says, sorry, I'm rereading. Sof, top of the next Amud. Kimate laila de beshimsha likdosh velifso. So the Gemara says, okay, but how about this? We're now, right, we put the bread on Sunday. And now the Mishnah's directive is leave it on there. But when we get to that first Friday night, so I understand Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that's all way too early. And that's all considered way mechusar zman. I get that. But when you get to Friday night, didn't you just tell me that the night prior to the day is connected? And so now, isn't the bread considered like it's put on prematurely, but not premature enough where it's mechusar zman, where it's not going to be imbued with Kedusha? Well, let me put it simply. Isn't the bread now going to have Kedusha as a good Friday night? So that now when you go to Shabbos the next day, boom, Lina? So the Gemara says, Amarava b'shekidim v'silek. So Rava's answer is, that's a really good point. So you know what we're going to do? Friday night we're going to take the lechem off. Right? I don't know where we're going to put it. I don't know whether we have to hold on to it, but we'll take it off. And then Shabbos morning we'll put it back on again. So that is Rava. Or the Marzutra response is, don't worry about that. Meaning, yeah, you're right. The bread's on the table on Friday night. But that's not considered a placement. Meaning, when is it going to be that the bread will be disqualified? When it's placed on Friday night. Here, it was already there. It's like, says the Gemara, a monkey put the lechem upon him on the table. Now imagine Friday night having a monkey, a trained monkey coming in. But the point is that that's not considered a placement of the bread on the shulchan. Okay, let's just quickly do this. I'm gonna run through the Mishnah and Gemara. Shtei alechem ne'achalos ein pachos mishnayim below yosei ashlosha. Right, we're talking about with the shtei alechem a 2 to 3 day gap. Ketza nafos me'erev yomtov ne'achalos be'yomtov. Look, normally on a regular Erev Shavuos, I bake the Shtei Alechem on Erev Yantiv, and I eat it on Yantiv. Lishnayim. Chal Yantiv liyos achar Shabbos, nechal shlosha. And what if Yantiv comes out on a Sunday? I can't bake it the day prior because that's Shabbos, so I'll bake it on Friday. So there'll be a 3 day gap between the baking and the eating. Good. Lechem upon him, nechal. 9 to 11 is the number of days between baking and eating. Look, on a regular week, we'll bake it on Friday, put it on Shabbos, stays the whole week, I eat it the next Shabbos. That's 9 days. 9 days including the day of baking. Okay? Now, what if Yantar falls out on a Friday? I can't bake the lechem upon him on Yontav, even though cooking and baking is okay, but not the lechem upon him. I'll bake it on Thursday, and we'll go from Thursday to the following Shabbos. Shnei yamim shal Rosh Hashanah. What about 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Remember, even in Eretz Yisrael, even the Bizman Beis Hamikdash, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Right, go back to our Rosh Hashanah Masech Rosh Hashanah to understand that better. Nechal Sarah yom. It overrides Yontif, you're allowed to bake on Yontif, Ve'inu Doches Yom Atzon, cannot override Yom Kippur. Amar Ravina, right? Just a short amount of Gemara. The Divra Omer Nedar Nedar Bezin Krib Yontif Lo Tema Midar Raisa Mechzei Chazav Rabbanu Degazre. The Gemara in Beitza has a debate. Can I offer my voluntary offerings on Yantav? Yes or no? Answer, machlokas. According to the one who says that you cannot, it's not, don't think of it as a gzeira derabanan, but rather it's a real isser min haTorah. Shalo yisha ela midaraisa. Na melchazah dahash, elechem dechovas hayom, uvalek ala meymar, shem yisha v'ktani enu doch lo seshabes v'lo seyantav. Because look, we just learned that I can't bake the Shtei Alechem on Yontif. On Yontif. Now, the Shtei Alechem, what do you want to tell me? That's a rabbinic concern? No, I have to eat it today. And yet the Mishnah says, right, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is of the opinion, you can't bake it on Yontif. So, if I can't bake the Shtei Alechem on Yontif, certainly Nedarim Nedavos cannot be offered on Yontif, and that would be a Din D'Araisa. Okay, so, Hajalach Shtei Alechem, that is the end of the 11th parak of Menachos. Tomorrow, Mirza Hashem Shabbos, we begin the 12th parak of Menachos. 10 more days. 2 more parakim. Okay?